You said everything is made beautiful in its time. And God, we just give you praise this morning. And we thank you for the saints coming into the household of faith and coming together in unity and in the bond of peace and perfection and coming together in love, exhorting one another daily, even so as the day approaches for his coming. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as you can see, the last few weeks, I guess I'm y'all's teacher for a little bit, but that might only last a week or two. It's whatever God says in the altar. But hopefully today we can kind of get an understanding where our body is. That's going to help us to understand what's going on here. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. One more time. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Grab somebody and tell them you love them. You're so glad to see them. I love you, and I'm glad to see you. Yes.
Love you.
Love you. So, amen. So, we'll get them started. First, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. This is a familiar scripture, but I want you to kind of see maybe why is pastor teaching at 10 o'clock sometimes. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. It's talking about the use of spiritual gifts. How many know that you're a gift to the body of Christ? And every one of you have something to give us. And we need it so desperately. And I thank you for the things that you do. Thank you, Jesus, for these people, Lord. Thank you for bringing a body that wants to see change, that don't just want religion. That wants to see the men and women come off the street and get free. I'm not sad, I'm happy. I'm happy in the Lord because he's given us direction. Amen. And we want to thank him for that. I want to honor you for that, Lord. Thank you that we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Because you have your apostles, your prophets, your pastors, your teachers, evangelists that train us how to work in the ministry and perfects and matures us in the things of God. Amen. Yes. I want to thank everybody that went with me. The Holy Ghost told me to take Sister Cindy, Brother Timmy, and Sister Brandy. And we had an awesome time. And God really united our hearts. And you know, if nothing else has happened through these trials that we've been in through a few months in our body, then that got to happen. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Because sometimes you get so busy, you don't have time to spend that individual. And I need that, and I know that we all need it. We need each other. We need each other. When those spirits come in from off the streets and we face them, then we need to come back together and regroup and draw strength in the right way from one another. Amen. And I want to say anything that I say today or any other day is not pointing anybody out. It's because that's what's going on in the spirit realm, and I've heard it and I see it. I heard it and I see it. So hopefully no one will get offended at my words, because these words come from the Holy Ghost and not me trying to correct you, because the Bible says, who am I to be another man's judge? And I don't put myself in a place to judge anybody. I just have to speak the word he gives me. And if I don't do it all right, then pray for me. You know, just encourage your pastor in the Lord and pray for me. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? How many? We together? We come together. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like one of these men of God that said, if he don't get the word out first, we won't never read it. We'll just be preaching. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. This is talking about there's a time for everything. There's a season. And there was probably four men of God that and I knew their life, you know, I knew the holiness that was on them. Well, you could see it and you could feel it. And then some of them I've heard, one of them I've heard before. But every one of them spoke into me and said, you're in a new season. You're in a new season. And the first night, now I'm talking, I was so glad I made the kids watch it with me last night. The only video that we could get up was the hardest one at 9:30 in the morning where we pressed for 3 hours to bring a breakthrough in this revival at the altars worshiping God. And, Shell, what did you see in that? Someone may want to get the mic today.
I just saw that it's a lie when we feel like we just fight here, that anybody that wants the anointing that'll break chains and heal and deliver is going to have to fight because the devil doesn't want us free.
Amen.
And I saw the frustration, you know, that it wears on the Elijahs and the people who do step out when, you know, the body just fights the fight. We're fighting anyway. We're just fighting the fight. And why we don't hook up and fight the devil.
Amen.
Instead of the fight.
Thank you. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There's a time for everything. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. What is that? There's a time and a purpose under heaven for every season. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up. That's what I do a lot. That which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. That's why when the anointing comes on someone and they're weeping, then we enter in with them, or they're laughing. It's a time to laugh. It's a time to mourn. It's a time to get exhorted in the body. It's a time to get things put out so we can see new things. And we just heard Pastor Paul Bradford say, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. So the old wineskin we have to rent our heart. The Bible says to rent your heart and open up my heart and let him pull out anything. If we had a garden, we'd want all the weeds out. Well, this is my garden, and I want all the weeds out. I want all the weeds out so seeds can come forth, and I can not only, God can not only plant into me, but I can plant into someone else. Because how many know when a seed comes forth, we get to enjoy the fruit of it. We get to enjoy. It's not just for the tree or the thing, the bearing the fruit. It's for the people to come and eat. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. Thank you, Jesus. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. This is you and I. It's not just an evangelist out here. It's not just a prophet out here. It's not just an apostle out here or a teacher. Fitly joined together in the household of faith, shoring each other up, encouraging one another, in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together. Does it keep saying builded together? Yes. Not separate. Builded together. For what?
Habitation.
A habitation of God through the Spirit. Don't you want to be a habitation of God?
Yes.
Want to be a habitation of God in our ministry, in our church. We want all the gifts to flow, all the gifts to operate. And that's one thing I noticed. There is the praise leader that they called in. He would allow time, and he would allow them time to step out into faith and operate in their callings, and they would take it. He would allow time. He would worship on the keyboard, and then he'd give them, when he felt the anointing, he would, like if he's standing there and he's like, oh, it's Tessa's turn to sing. He would allow time. He didn't go past that. And they would take it. That's the thing I want to focus on. They would take it. They would take that opportunity to let the gift that God had given them to flow through their lives. And the Bible says, stay in the same gift that you're called. There's so many days and weeks that I studied on encouraging words. You know, God, let me talk about resurrection life. Let me exhort the body. And I'd have a message that I had worked on for 4 days. And on Saturday in here, he would change it to set the captive free. But then he'd bring Brother Timmy and exhort y'all. Then he would bring Barbara and she could teach y'all. Then he would bring Brother Allen and he could prophesy over the church what was going on. So then he would bring the worship leaders and the worship team so you could worship a while. Then he would bring the people in the kitchen that would feed us a while. So, hey, Sister Ruby. So all these gifts operate in the body will make us so happy and make us so fulfilled and so satisfied that we won't be looking for anything anywhere else. We won't feel a need. I remember, I don't know if I told Mama this, but I used it for example the other day, that her message was, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and die, it'll abide alone. But if it'll die, it'll bear much fruit. So we heard that. And we heard it, and we heard it. My message is to sell out, sell out, sell out. Do what God's called you to do. Don't make excuses for it. Justify it. Just be honest if you're not ready. But sell out to the place that you can today. So my encouraging word today is, what do you want to do for God? Let's locate, I'm right here. I feel you pulling me a little further, but I'm not ready for that yet. But God, if you'll work on me, I want to do that one day. I'm not going to cut you off that you want me to sing a special or you want me to preach one day or you want me to teach. I'm just not ready today, God. And would you work on my life? And I'm going to do everything I can do that I can do right now. When you're calling on me to fast and pray, I don't want to do that, God, so I'm not ready. So I've come in here and I fall down before Pastor Pinson. I said, I want to leave the church. But I'm not going to leave, but it's something on me all the time, pressure, pressure, pressure. She said, what is that pressure? I said, because we'll be up here praying, and you'll say, some of y'all might want to spend the night. And I have 3 kids, and I would feel guilty and condemned because I didn't want to stay up here and fast, or I'd do it, and I'd be mad about it, and I'd be torn about it. And she said, why don't you just don't do that right now? I didn't have to lie. I didn't have to justify, but we do that because if we're arrogant or self-righteous, we don't want people to think we can't handle it. But why don't we just say I can't handle it right now? There's so many things going on in my life that I can just do this much. So today I just want to encourage you to do this much. Do what you can do. If God's called you to go to the jail and he called you to go to the street, he called you to knock on doors and you're working 50 hours a week, God, I do what I can do today, and I ask you to pull me into the rest of what you have for me. Pull me into my destiny, God, because in what I see right now, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. But I'm just going to sit at your feet and let you pull me and draw me into your presence, into that place where it's just automatic. When I get up, that's what comes out of me. That it's not a chore. It's not hard. It's who I am, because it's who you made me to be before the foundation of the world. So God already put it in you who you are in Christ before you ever were born. He knew your destiny. He knew what he wanted you to do. He set the end from the beginning, and he knows the call on your life, and he knows what you can take right now and what you can't take. And when there's a little pressure, if you think it's too much, just say, God, I think that's too much right now. And you come talk to Pastor. And that disarms all that stuff. You ain't got to do this. You ain't got to just, okay, we'll just keep working on that. Come on, so-and-so, let's fill in and love that person until they're able to do that. Amen? And not push our brother down because they should have been there already. No, I'm not about you should have been there already. I'm about when God says, see if so-and-so do this. Okay. There was a few months ago, I felt that anointing for the first time in 16 years to turn to my son on the platform and ask him, do you want to say something? And he said no. So I just turned around and just kept on praising God. I didn't go to him afterwards. He wasn't ready. It's okay. It's okay. But I'm not going to give up on the call on him. I'm going to keep pulling that intimidation and that fear and whatever it is that wanted him to back up that day. I'm going to keep pulling that off of him in prayer, and I'm going to keep loving him. And I'm going to let him do what he's already doing so greatly, and I'm not going to put more on him. Amen? God, we just give you praise for it. So the man of God that was over the conference, now, mind you, though, I'm in that front. Holy Ghost says, move up. I said, I don't want to butt in front of these people. Move over here. Move up. So obeying that, so he came to me and Brother Timmy like the second people, and he didn't know we were together. And he pulled us both down and pulled us together, not separate. He pulled us together, and he said these words, this is not the end of a ministry, it's the beginning of a new one. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Not the end, it's the beginning of a new one. The Bible talks about don't remove the old landmarks. You may think, oh, she's jealous, she's defending. No, I'm protecting. I'm protecting him. Protecting you. It says don't remove the old landmarks. Let's look at Deuteronomy 19:14. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Timmy, would you mind coming sit up here? So if God wants you to talk in a minute. If not, we got the rest of the service. Amen. Deuteronomy 19:14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God gives thee to possess. Don't remove the foundation. Don't dishonor the foundation of what God's placed in the ministry because you see a new thing. In prayer this morning, what came out of my spirit was, God, don't let us move to the next fad and forget what you're already done in our life. Don't let us see the anointing on someone and say, oh, my whole heart's to the... Don't let us... Because that's the same thing that when Pastor Pinson, she tried to break them soul ties through years in here, and a lot of them got broken. And when I became a pastor, some of the people would come and I remember telling, I won't name names, but I told this particular person one day, I said, I'm not gonna do that for you. They said, what? I said, no, sir. I'm not gonna let that same thing connect to me. That because we're mature, you know, that we had been in here 10 years, and so I was constantly not letting that form that soul tie with everything in me. I'm not gonna say some of it didn't happen the wrong way, but I was adamant about that when I started, because the word that God gave me was don't do it for them. When she pronounced the blessing on my life and she raised up out of that bed when she was dying, she said, Annie, you never known your place. You've been in that ministry and you've died to all these things and everybody had positions. She said, rise up and take that charge now. And she said, don't do it for them. And I said, well, Mama, what if the anointing's not there? What if the anointing's not there to preach? What if the presence isn't there? She said, I'm asking you to do something I've never done. She said, but don't do it for them. She said, if they don't bring the presence in, don't preach. And you put it back on that praise leader, and you do it publicly, because I've tried everything else. So there's no point in going over the same things over and over if it's already been tried. So that mantle on me, the mantle on me, not me, came in here from day one. That's what it pressed for you to rise up into your call and your anointing, because I knew that it had already been depositing you what you needed. Sometimes we don't know we have what we have on the inside of us, and it takes someone else to pull it out of us. And so when those times come, if I come over there and hit you on the head, I remember years ago, Casey, I did this. I don't think I was a pastor yet, so I might have been out of order. But I felt the pull for him to dance, and he stood stiff as a board. You know, if someone, and going to those new levels, you'll make that choice. But he's not stiff as a board today. He's up there praising God. He's up there dancing. He's up there shouting. So if that happens, it's because God knows you can do it. He's not going to put more on you than you can take. His word says he won't. He won't give us. There's no temptation that's not common to man that someone else hadn't experienced. And God's not going to put that pressure on you to dance if you're not willing. You might not feel it, but you just step out in faith and obey, and then you will feel it. First time I danced, I would have to operate in faith in it, because the first time I felt for my left foot to go out here, and then I did that, and so I was just there doing this. And then pretty soon he said, go across the front, and then pretty soon he said, go across the platform. And all of that is warfare. It's all making a way for the word to come into someone's heart, so we can change. Every bit, the flags, every gift in here is for the breakthrough. It's for somebody's life to be. Maybe someone never had anybody cook a meal for them. Nobody loved them enough to come over one day and see them. Those gifts, when we went to Tish's, because she lost her mom, and so I felt the Holy Ghost tell me to call Babs and say, can we have our cell group at Tish's? And so we took it over there, and we took food, and I took $100. And she, when we walked in, she didn't know how she's going to go through the funeral. And it was more than grief. It was battles and stuff and families. And anyway, so we just start singing. Dana starts singing in the presence of Jehovah. And we started singing that, and she just began to cry. That was the song she ushered her mom into glory with. And she told us. And I said, can we sing that? But see, I had to step out in faith to do that because I didn't know if it would make her upset. There's always that voice to come. And you don't need to sing that. She's going to lose it. Well, she needed to lose it. She needed to get that grief, that's, I won't say what all, out of her heart so she could face what she had to face on Friday. And Julie and a couple, I think Sister Nancy, went to the home going, and Julie said, she's doing great. She's doing great. And she didn't have to do that in front of, you know what I'm saying? So that gift of those cell groups that the Holy Ghost is raising up in this body, I think it was 12 or 14 of us. And when we were leaving, I said, Thomas, thank you for such a beautiful home and taking care of your family. And he, you know, embarrassed him a little bit, and he started talking to Barbara. So I walked on out, and the Holy Ghost said, go back. So when I turned around, most people were gone, and Monica helped me back up, and he was on the porch. And he said, and I said, I went up to him again. I said, Thomas, y'all can build now. You can go forward in the things of God. And he said, Pastor, and he talked about how that same spirit still here that was here with Mama, you know. and that, and he had tears, and he, what touched him the most was that we were willing to come to their house and bring food and bring money and bring love. So if we can do that through the city, there's no problem taking the city. There's no problem. If God speaks to us, says, you go over here and you do this, take a group, because we're coming out of these four walls and we're bringing it out there. Amen. We're bringing it out there. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 22:28. Don't remove the landmarks. Proverbs 22:28. Let's see. It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Okay, let's look at 23:10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Remove not the fathers from the church. Remove not the ancestors. Remove not, like I said, there's many instructors, 10,000 instructors, but very few fathers. And Brother Timmy's going to have a father, a spiritual father. And God gave me a dream when Mama looked at me and she said, to live in victory. And Brother Timmy was in the stadium and a couple men, there was a man up there. And then he went and talked to another man. And I looked up and what she was saying to me, that the vision won't be lost in the revival. But she was... It felt like she was the pastor. It's like she just got into bed with me and she was alive and she looked straight at me, to live in victory. So we're going to get some banners that say to live in victory, because we're not going to do away with the old landmarks, you know. And God, would just thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1. But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. The God that created Pastor, the God that created Brother Timmy, God that created Jacob, the God that created Israel, the God that created every other gift in here, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Now, our church has passed through many waters, so I'm going to say this like we've already done it, because we have. Because we pass through the waters, he'll be with us, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow us. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Did you know God loves you so much that he gave people for you? He gave Pastor Pinson for you. He gave fathers, spiritual ancestors, our elders. He gave them for our life because he loves us that much. And he says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. This is what he's going to do for Freedom Ministries. He's going to bring our seed. He's going to bring everyone that maybe went to the north, south, east, or west, because we saw on this trip, that's the vision in itself. What kind of city this size needs to have a north crossing and a west crossing and a south crossing. So we started pulling that thing down, pulling it out of the atmosphere. And he said, I will say, verse 6, to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let freedom ministries come forth and the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us formal things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses. He's saying, don't just bring in the former. Don't just bring in the old. You're my witness, says the Lord, and my servants whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe in me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cries in the ships. I, the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, the army and the power, the army and the power, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a toe. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and a river in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I have given waters in the wilderness. It don't matter if they don't like me. It don't matter if they don't like you. It said the beasts and the owls are going to bow down to the name of Jesus because they're going to see the glory of the Lord. It's not going to matter whose mouth is coming out of. It's not going to matter whose voice. It's not going to matter if they're a man, woman, boy, or girl, an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. But we're going to hear the voice of the Lord, and we're going to go forth in his glory. Hey! Yes. You not know it, I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the devil. The beast of the field, verse 20, this was awesome. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness. They ain't worried about where it's coming from. Who's feeding me? Are they white or black? Are they Spanish? I don't know if I'm going to receive from a Spanish person. Well, if you're hungry enough, you will. If you're thirsty enough, you're not going to care who it is giving you some water. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. That'll do away with religion. Right? That'll do away with separateness. That'll do away with, what's that thing where we don't like different colors? Racism. He said, this people I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Thank you, Jesus. We'll give you praise for it, Lord. Let's look at Jeremiah 5:24. Thank you, Jesus. The reason people can complain about that stuff, because they really hadn't seen a lot of real water. Hadn't seen a lot of real bread. But when they see the real, they don't care. They don't care who it comes from. Jeremiah 5:24. He said, I'll start with 23, because I was reading about defiance and just being defiant, you know. But this people hath a defiant and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord. Let us find out why we want to leave. Let us find out why we just want to get under Rhonda and support her. Let's search our heart. Why we want to separate. What is it in us that's not liking what's going on? Not what is it in them. Neither say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord that giveth rain, both the former and the latter. In his season, he gives it in his season. And he's bringing the former and the latter. He's bringing what we've learned, how to live in victory. He that's threaded through here, and it's going to go through eternity. It's not going to be lost. It's not going to be left. That legacy is not going to be forgotten. But at the same time, he's bringing the latter rain. And he said in Haggai, the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. So why is it going to be greater? Not because they separate. They do it together. They do it together. What's the biggest problem in the body of Christ all over the world is separation. Oh, I fell a little bit, so I'm going to do my own church. Dr. Cho's raised up, I don't know how many thousands, got the largest church in the world, I believe. And he wrote a book talking about cell groups and things. And he said that he trusted people to have service on Friday night. Now, he didn't have to trust people. He could have kept it all for himself. But he trusted me, and actually, God gave him a vision because he fell out. He couldn't take no more. He wound up in the hospital for doing everything. And he saw a vision, and he went to the men in his church, and he said, God wanted us to start having these cell groups. He said the men told him, we work too much. We got too much going on. We don't have time. They gave him every excuse in the book. Now, cell groups hadn't formed yet around the world. This man birthed them and brought them forth, and now they're everywhere. Just about every church has a form of cell groups. Well, Dr. Cho passed out because he couldn't take everything, the responsibility, and God said, you're not going to be able to do this. You're going to have to delegate. So he went back and tried to get him some people to give authority to, and he said the men didn't want it because they said they worked too much. So he's over there, you know, women, they don't do nothing. He called his women. He said, do y'all want it? Because he went back in prayer, and God said, I told you to do this. So the women said, yes, Pastor, we'll do it. But they had to cover their heads, and what they would do was go up and down elevators in the city, go out in the parks and say, would y'all like to come over Friday? There's a couple of us coming over, and we're going to grill hamburgers, and we're going to do a little worship and praise God. And they built he's built this massive ministry doing that. Well, in that, people rose up and said, because the pastor said, I want you to take up an offering on Friday nights and bring the offering on Sunday morning. Because the church was growing, you know, and whatever reason he had, it doesn't matter. That he's the pastor of that church. Well, they started doing it. People started giving. So what they did was, I got this. This vision's been put in me. I know how to do this. I can go through the city and produce it a lot better than Pastor because I can do it like Pastor Pinson. She don't do things like Pastor Pinson, so I think I'll go over here and help the river do it because I have all this. I know how to do it. That's what they did. And he said that none of them prospered, not one. He said he didn't fight them. He didn't take up for himself. He didn't defend. Every one of them fell to the ground because they did not remember their father. And they got puffed up in pride. And they went out and tried to make their own way instead of Jesus' way. Amen. But if we'll do it Jesus' way, then it can all be done right. And everybody can stay together. Now, this church here has the foundation to be able to do that. A lot of people may not have a deep enough root to be able to carry revival, but we have a deep enough root that this could go on and on and on. This revival could go on and on and on. It's up to us if we'll stay together and promote the authority that's in the house and then honor the rest of the leaders, but always push back to the vision and push back to the pastor, then everybody will be covered because the pastor's going to make sure that he gets some help. Going to make sure Barbara gets some help. And it'll be done the right way. And there won't be separate kingdoms set up because a house divided against itself cannot stand. It will not stand. So, God, we just see this today that we need to honor the men and women of God, but we don't need to forget our boundaries, our landmarks, and where we came from. And we just ask that you pull us all together now in one mind and one accord. And we repent for anything that we've done under the sun, that we just saw the anointing, or we felt in our spirit that we should help, and we didn't go to the pastor. We didn't seek counsel about that. We just did it in ourselves. God, we repent for that, and we just ask you to come upon us and wash that out of here, God, that before that could ever get started, and bring us back into one accord so we can go forth through the land singing and shouting and praising God and having the former and the latter rain, not just a new thing. Having the form, you're not in separation. You're in restoration, God. You're in a habitation for the Spirit of God. You're not in pulling away and doing our own thing. You're in coming together and being one. Your last prayer was that we be in one. We be in unity. And God, we fought everything that we could to keep this ministry in one accord. And we're not going to let anything come in and separate, God. We're not going to let anything come in and divide. And I just give you praise for it. Thank you, Jesus.